Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, October 9th, 2010. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and yes, we are live. Today's show is titled Art and Life. As you know, many of our guests that have appeared on the show have displayed an ability to use their talent to enhance the lives of many. Today's guest has to be a shining example of three simple words: gift, altruism, and future. Each word alone conveys a clear intent. However, coupled, they are given a movement that transcends way beyond the moment. Adarsh Alphonse has been painting passionately since he was 7 years of age. He held his first solo exhibition at the age of 13. His artistic credentials include exhibitions across the globe, painting portraits for Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, and a commission for the Pope to design a backdrop for the Pontiff's 1999 Holy Mass in New Delhi. Now, you would figure with credentials of this caliber, you would think he would have settled into a cushy, selfish existence where he alone benefits. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that artists are superficial. No, not at all. However, having this type of fame and recognition could lead you on a certain path. But not in the case of Adarsh Alphonse. His path led him to Harlem. He recently served as the visual arts director at the Harlem School of the Arts, where he completely restructured their program, doubled their enrollment, recruited new faculty, and organized new projects, including a partnership with the Department of Parks of New York City. Then there's the Alphonse Project, also known as Adarsh Alphonse Projects. Now, this is only a small snapshot of the accomplishments made by this young man. I would like you to meet him so he can tell you more. Hey, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good, Aurelia. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I am honored to have you on the show. And
oh, the honor is mine.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, I would like people to learn a little bit more about you before we even begin to get into your special baby.
Okay, would you like me to talk about my school or just my background as an artist?
Well, I would like for you to start with your childhood because starting painting at 7 and then at 13 having your own solo exhibition, that's an accomplishment.
Right. Well, you know, it's been interesting in life. I'm trying to make sense of this. There's a mystery to it all. You know, it started out when I had just moved, I grew up in India, and I had just moved from the south to north, and I started painting because I didn't really understand, I didn't really know English and know the languages in North India. My Malayalam, my southern Indian language was very good, so I just started to draw. I think that's, looking back, I think that is where I actually, that makes sense for me to take on drawing because it's, visual art is something that is beyond language. It's communication that is across the board. And so I started drawing my classmates. So that's how it really started. And then I remember I used to draw so much because that's the only thing I knew how to do. And I ran into quite a bit of trouble in my first school. I actually got, I was asked to, I was not, very my artistic inclinations wasn't very welcome in my first school. One day the principal called up my parents and asked them to pick my brother and me from their school and to basically take us out. So that's a nice way of saying we got kicked out. So at 7 I was kicked out of my first school. Life wasn't going as well as as a normal kid, I guess. And so that my dad put us in another school. This time, you know, just a small sort of a school in Delhi, and over there, without much weight, I was again in trouble. Math, science, social science, every class was drawing from me, so I just drew everyone, and thing I know, again, I've been dragged to the principal, and I knew this was the end of the world, because being exiled, being thrown out twice by the time I'm 7 years old, doesn't bode very well for my future. This time, my principal actually, she looked at my work and she said, you know what, son, keep drawing. And I assure you, my drawing, it was not a masterpiece. I don't even think I'm particularly talented. I think kept going on with this tendency that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what, you know, like, I think, yes, since then, I have figured out the techniques of the medium, and I've really started to develop an eye and a sense for color, but that's I think that happened only because I kept persisting, not necessarily because I was gifted. I mean, I don't think I came and at the first moment I picked up his pencil, I just started to do wonderful things with it. I think I am still on a path, and maybe not as far as I would be 5 years from now. So my principal took a look at my drawing, and she said, you know what, son, keep drawing. Just paint the whole school down.
Mm-hmm.
Draw all your notebooks, do whatever you want. And that really sort of set a spark in me that made me think, you know what, this is the only thing I know how to do. Maybe I should just keep doing it. And I don't know what is going to come out of it, but I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to move from small to big, big to bigger, and then see what happens.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Now, that's excellent. Now, would you say that helped you get through the troubles that you were encountering while you were in school, just to have this place, I call it a place where you can just go into your own world and hide and
right.
become your own person?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I started drawing quite a bit at home, and then I think when I was 10 years old, I was watching Nelson Mandela. He was on TV. He had just become the president of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a huge deal. I mean, it was just, you know, it was such a moment. And we all knew he was this very, very special character. And he had, you know, he stood for so many things that were right with the world. And
mm-hmm.
So I'm on TV, and I just started to draw him in a little pad. I think it's 8.5 by 11 size paper. And after I drew him, I put sort of everything I could into the drawing, and I showed it to my parents. They said, oh, wow, you know, you should show it to your friend in your school. And by that, they were meeting the principal, someone rather intimidating. But she's such a cool person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just... I actually did go and show it to her, and she took a look, and she said, wow, you know what, Adarsh? Actually, Nelson Mandela is visiting Delhi next month, and we have a small group of students from our school going. You should go and give it to him.
Wow.
I said, what? And she said, yeah, let's put a frame around it, and, you know, you write a dedication on it, and you give it to him. And I said, this is crazy, because I felt like this would be, I mean, it would be such a great privilege to be there,
mm-hmm.
and to actually give it to him, and by all means, you know, the drawing is his. But it was just like, I was beginning to wonder, am I not too much of an amateur to be doing this? Anyway, so that happened. And that was fantastic. You know, he signed it, and actually gave the drawing back to me, and I had made a copy of the drawing, which he took. So he took a copy of the drawing back to Johannesburg, and I had a signed copy with me. And so that really set off a spark, and I thought, you know, maybe maybe it could be something I could do on a more serious basis. Maybe it's not just a therapeutic kind of a thing for me. Maybe it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to draw pretty sort of fervently at home, and I started drawing canvas. Of course, you know, I didn't really have any training. Arts education in India is practically non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
I started to draw quite a bit at home, trying to figure out acrylic and oil painting, and then after that, there were enough paintings in my house. And, you know, we couldn't really, there wasn't space in our little apartment to show it, and I met the principal. You know, she knew that I was doing these drawings, and I kept working on it, and I think I sort of became known as a painting guy in school. I was a very weird kid, I have to say. I wasn't the most popular kid. I wasn't the most social one. I was this guy who had tendency.
Okay.
And then I ended up having my first exhibition in the school, because there was one room that was being opened in the school, and I had about 40 paintings, and the principal said, you know, if you're opening this, and it's going to be a gallery. So I said, you know, if it's going to be a gallery, would you like me to show, you know, the student? And he said, yeah, why not? Let's have the inaugural show be yours. And so I did it, and, you know, we had a great time. And that's when I really started to do stuff on a little bit more professional basis. You know,
mm-hmm.
that went on to having more shows almost every year since then.
Mm-hmm.
Second year I showed in the National Gallery, and then the year after that I showed it I had a global exhibition that went from Delhi to London to New York and D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the interesting things about this thing is it's not so much as there was a very quick growth, a very quick movement,
mm-hmm.
but it happened because I kept doing it. I kept being at it, and I knew I was different.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if that was good or bad, but just that it was who I am, and what I like to do. And I didn't see anything destructive in it. And now, of course, I realize that it is something. You know, I think I'm a builder. That's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And builder of art, but now a builder of an organization. And I've been, since I came to the U.S. a couple of years ago, just been working on figuring out how the system here works so I can build
mm-hmm.
an arts organization that mm-hmm. can do what my principle, in a way, and my childhood was for me to other students, and raise a generation of students by setting them after their own vision.
Okay. Now, okay, how did you get into the United States from India? How did that transition occur?
I came here to study college. I came a while ago to enroll in art college. I went to Maryland Institute College of Art.
Okay. Now, based on all the information that I was given, and it's so much, and you have such an impressive history behind you, and I was, you know, speaking with someone, and I said, you have the history of someone who's in their 80s, your credentials, and you're not even finished, anywhere near finished. But my point I wanted to ask you was, now, you seem to have this ability to lead. Did you have this leadership ability and quality when you were younger? Did you see yourself as a leader?
I don't know how to answer that. I think I always did something, and that was kind of, you know, that's, you know, be really, really watchful and careful about the visual aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think a little but at the same time, I was really interested in science too, and physics particularly. But yeah, I was. I mean, I don't know if I would say I mean, I guess for some people, and certainly for I think students who are interested in art, I think they saw in me what could be. You know, especially in India, you know, there's very little support for the arts, especially these days.
Mm-hmm.
Culturally, historically, yes, there's a legacy there, but nowadays, especially when I was there, there was just, especially abstract and modern painting was such a kind of a alien concept there.
Mm-hmm.
I think now with the economic boom and some people having, you know, more disposable income, people are starting to see, okay, now we have a roof above our heads now. We have some white walls. Let's figure out what to put on it. And, you know, they're thinking about art a little bit more. You know, people are having some money to acquire art. But back in the 90s, you know, just when the economic changes that happened in India, they had let foreign trade in. It was not something that but people are different. I think there were definitely young people that I encountered when I was there were my peers who drew as well as me or
mm-hmm.
better than me, or they were extremely talented, but it was so discouraged to pursue anything other than engineering or medicine.
Oh, okay. Now, with that in mind, how, you know, you have always, even when you were in college, you were always in a position where you were able to help lead and guide people in a certain direction and give them assistance and create a place where they could go and use their talents and ability. And all of this stems from your experience as a young child with your principal, or is it something in you naturally?
I think there've been certain individuals who have been, you know, pivotal in my journey so far. My dad being one of them. He's not an artist. He's actually involved in government in India, but he's been a very interesting figure for me that I think, decades from now, I would still be trying to understand, you know, I do admire his leadership qualities very strongly. And he's big on sort of anti-corruption and,
mm-hmm.
And especially in India with a lot of corruption right now. And so he gets a lot of, his initiatives get a lot of resistance because they are about a transparent, accountable government. I think just watching him speak and watching him work with other people, I definitely feel that he has some amazing oratorical qualities. And you know, my artistic tendency is a little, I guess, in one way it's completely different, which for me, I'm more of a person who likes to say, discuss ideas for about 30% of the time and then 70% of the time work on the execution or building the ideas. And that, for me, that formula has worked out to be most sensible, because once you have too much ideas, there's not enough time to create. Once you're focusing only on creation, you know, it doesn't give you enough time to think about exactly what you're trying to achieve. And so our styles are different, but I do think there are some people like my principal, my dad, Mother Teresa was definitely an inspiration. A couple of the early artists when I was in India, first art studios that I had been to, and I saw these artists in these beautiful studios, but there was just one in a million. And it's so rare, such a rare occurrence, but such a promising vision to see people doing it professionally in such a beautiful way. So I thought, wow, something exists like this, and that's very reaffirming.
That's excellent. Now, do you think that you would have gone into another direction, and if there was another direction to go into, which I don't see, what would that have been?
I mean,
not being an artist, yes, not being an artist, what would you have done? Because I really can't see you doing anything much other than something involved in the arts.
Yeah, I don't see myself either. I think art and culture, my background is in visual art, and the reason I started my school is I wanted to just create a place for, and why it's a visual art school is because visual art is my background. But the model for our school, which is really something that I feel like I've always known, and I've always known that this is the way to do it, and I think my experience has been when I share this idea with others, it's such a simple concept and such a timeless universal concept that everyone gets it and think, that would be great. Or they say, I wish I had got to go in your program when I was young, or that sounds great, but how do you do it, or is it possible? So basically, the concept being, and the reason why the concept is important, because it can be applied towards any field, and art just being one of them. But because art is my stronghold, I thought I would start in art.
Okay.
The model is basically letting people, basically the assumption is, our premise for our school is, people are unique, they have a unique purpose, and they achieve their purpose by achieving their vision, one vision at a time. They build things, and they want to build something bigger, or something else, something bigger. And the way our education, our society is constructed right now, is letting people conform to certain things, certain fields, certain chosen fields, occupations, and sort of, the higher you achieve in that field, the more successful you are, and the more of a contributor you are to society. And I think people are unique, and they're meant to be different. And people have different contributions. You know, one's meant to be a very good biker, one's meant to be a reporter, one's meant to be an artist, one's meant to be a scientist. And the choice that's made by your vision to do it is the right thing to do. And so basically a model that lets people chase after that.
Okay. Well, we're going to backtrack a little bit, and we're going to introduce the Alphonse Project, Inc. And this is a really, really, I mean, I looked at the video on YouTube, and I was thoroughly blown away by the work that was being done. So the Alphonse Project, Inc. is a free after-school and weekend visual arts education program for middle school and high school students. And it's a program, just based on the pictures that I saw and some of the teachers' interviews, it is a beautiful program, and the children all look so engaged and so just content and comfortable in their environment. And I have to tell my listeners that as we speak right now, you are currently in the classroom with your students. And, that just shows your dedication. Now, can you go into your project a little bit more, and so people can have an idea of what it's about and how your vision came about in regards to it?
I previously I was head of visual arts at the Harlem School of the Arts for 2 years. And having worked in the arts education field, before that I was a GM of a company, another nonprofit, and so I wanted to get some administrative skills as well as get to know the arts education feel a little better, and also maybe getting a few contacts in that. And so after doing that and seeing how it's done, I realized that the model, or actually even at the Harlem School, I was trying to make a model work that wasn't the model that they had, and that is project-based or vision-based education, and that is really letting young people, basically asking them what it is that they see, what it is that they want to create. And it can be a little sort of unnerving to ask that right away, but so we worked through a process first couple of weeks to let them sort of set vision, so we call it vision setting, and we almost create a storyline or a timeline to produce this vision. And we take it very seriously here, you know, we let them know that whatever they create will be shown in an exhibition in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the works that I created, the body of works are always exhibited in the end. We had our first pilot program in the summer with 10 kids, and we don't have more than 10 kids in each class. But so let's keep the ratio good. Sorry?
That's excellent, because I guess more than 10 kids, that would be really difficult to give them the intention that they require.
Right. And since it's so individualized, so, I mean, we don't have a curriculum, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
but because every student, we believe, has a different curriculum, has a different path. And so we try to pair up students and teachers as well as we can, and every student is in a way in their own track. We share some common things together because we think kids should be exposed to things that are a little outside of their known interests.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so we have a little session in which we talk about, expose them to other artists. But you know, a lot of it has to do with an individualized way of teaching. We have a small ratio, student to teacher, and the exhibition, the students from the summer, we're going to be exhibiting them 2 weeks from now exactly on October 23rd in a gallery downtown. So I'd like to invite you and all the listeners.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
How do you, I understand that you get teachers from all over the world. How do you go about getting instructors to teach your to come teach in your program?
So for the teachers, we are trying to basically find the right match. First of all, mm-hmm. teachers who can operate according to our model, and that is this very individualized mode of teaching, and we really have to be given to listening to each student, conversing with them, understanding where they come from and what their interest possibly would be. And not so much as getting them all to conform like one still life, getting mm-hmm. them all to draw a certain way. We don't really believe there's one way to draw, but there are, or there's one correct visual, one ultimate visual. I think as an artist, you can have a perspective, but you have to have a very open mind. And just as you defend your right to be and to have an individual vision and point of view, so do we have to defend each of our students' rights to think as individual artists.
Mm-hmm.
So, right now we have classes in drawing, painting, and illustration. We're going to start the rest of the classes in, you know, we want to grow, and we're just growing right now, and we're looking for support. We're looking for, finding our community and, any resources by which we can grow. We're right now housed in a donated space in Harlem, and I've just been buying the odd materials from whatever I can put aside for this, and, you know, it's not a whole lot, but I think we're just getting by, and we'd really like to have a lot more kids in the program.
That would be great, and you should have a lot more kids in the foundation beating the doors down. This is a wonderful opportunity. Now, the other question I wanted to ask was the curriculum. How is the curriculum based? Do you offer, like, do they take a, right now you said they are doing drawing and painting?
Yes. Drawing, and painting, and illustration, and comics. And I found a lot of students interested in superhero stories, anime, manga. And so when I had to pick a teacher for that, I went through a very sort of a unconventional process. You know, usually they just, teachers are students from, you know, fresh graduates, or they've been teaching this for a while. But what I wanted to do was, since we take our art so seriously here, and our students, you know, they're interested in superheroes, so one potential route they could take is to actually be an illustrator for comics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They might actually have a professional career, and they make works that end up in actually stands that you can buy in bookshops. And so I thought the best thing to do, the person who would be able to answer their questions most effectively would be an actual illustrator who illustrates for DC Comics or Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two big companies that made all the big comic book figures.
Yes, I'm a victim of buying them. So
oh, really?
Yes, I used to buy them all the time.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, so we have a teacher who actually does drawing, who actually does work for Marvel. And he's in industry. He's in this industry, and so he really knows how it's done, what it takes to be in it, and what the life is, and plus, I mean, the stuff that he draws is literally in the stands 2 weeks later, so.
Okay, and that's excellent, because it gives the kids an opportunity to work with someone who's actually doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that, you know, you got to be really good, and you got to be really given to it, and it's serious business, and you can say a lot of interesting things with comics, and the underlying thing for, I think, most comics is, at least superhero comics, is this struggle, is this very, very subtle and deep-rooted struggle between good and evil.
Yes, and you can give a series of messages in such a manner that it doesn't come off as being too in your face. It's really easier to tell a story via a comic than it is to tell a story in a book.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, for the what kind of candidate would be eligible for your program?
For the program, we are looking at students who are interested in visual arts, who have done some work for it before. Since the program is full scholarship, the admission is by portfolio review. So you want to see what they can do before we open them up to, you know, a room full of resources. You know, we actually, one part of the program, we actually take them to the art store and let them pick out whatever they want. And we have a great time doing that because it's such a great place to learn when you're actually in a shop, because there's so many different tools. And it's like, you know, if you love reading and going into a bookshop, because every little thing, there's different, you know, different brush sizes, different types of paint, different types of palettes, papers, and just to be out there, to touch them, feel them, and to know that, you know, maybe if you have an idea, you can make it happen with this vocabulary of art materials.
Yes. Now, what you're doing is you're not treating them as if they're students. You're treating them as if they're actually artists.
Yes, very much. That's our assumption. Our assumption is there's something going on, and children have been told basically that they're ready to make a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe they can't be nuclear physicists,
mm-hmm.
but if you're interested in the physics of nuclear physics, you can at least start learning it. Maybe you can ask some very basic questions. You know, some of the most important observations were in any field, or contributions weren't made by people who have PhDs and have been there for dozens of years, it's some people who are entering very fresh from the mm-hmm. perspective. You know, Einstein was 26 when he came out with relativity.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's an excellent point. Now, the other question is, your academic calendar, what is that? So if someone was interested in finding out more information about when, you know, when's the best time, when is your summer program, when is your fall program, begin and end, and so on.
Okay, so the summer program, you know, it's next year's calendar, we don't know yet. We haven't
mm-hmm.
said it yet.
Okay.
But it'll be almost like a camp form. And as you can imagine, like, you know, an average camp is about $1,500, and so us being a free camp and only for a few students, I expect it to be very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But the fall program, we started last week, and we are going to be, today is our second class, and we're actually still in the process of accepting students because, like, our morning class had a bunch of students. Right now, the intermediate drawing class has only 3, and we can accommodate 7 more students.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The illustration class has a few more kids, and that's the next class. So we have a few spots available.
And okay.
So we're going to get a few more kids, and so the semester goes on until December 18th. We're only on Saturdays right now. And spring semester dates, don't remember particularly right now, but it's on our website.
Okay.
Would you like to know what the website is?
Yes, I was going to ask you, where are you located, the website, phone number, so if people are interested and they have some or know of some children who would be excellent candidates, how
right.
can they get in contact with you?
Sounds good. Well, I welcome everyone to apply and to reach out to me. Would love to see, we'd love to accommodate as many students as possible, and we will find a way to accommodate almost everyone. Our website is www.adarshalpons.org. That's www.adarshalpons.org. And we're located at 63 West on 24th Street. It's on 124 between Lenox and 5th Avenue, right in Central Harlem. And my cell number is our number right now is 443-514-7248. Again, it's 443-514-7248.
Okay, then that's really good. Now, with this particular program, you said you have an exhibition. They can go on YouTube, and they can also see some of the work that the students are doing. And, I mean, it's really, I say it's quality work that you have the students doing. And I was just really just so, I guess you could say, elated to see the students so happy and content and comfortable in their environment. Now, will there be any kind of computerized or, you know, training that they'll get as well, the technical aspect of the art?
I'm sorry?
Will there be any, like, will they learn how to use the computer to do, you know, computer-generated animation?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. We just got 4 computers donated, and they're in good condition, and I'm looking out for 6 more, so we'll have 10 computers, one for each mm-hmm. student. And we hope to start a video class pretty soon, probably by spring, because we have these computers, we want to get the software and a camera
mm-hmm.
and audio equipment. All in all, you know, we're looking for anyone who has a spare one lying around, even if it's just for one day, a week, if you could take it, that would be great. And so, it's definitely very technical, you know. The training is in the technical and critical aspects of art. So technical as in, like, how to use whatever medium they're interested in. If they want to work with, you know, do some light woodworking, that's fine. If they want to work with pastels, oil paints, you know, we have all of that. And also of course, in video and, you know, computer programs, but also the critical aspects, which is a historical aspect. If you're interested in, say, making human figures, you know, we want to show you some painters and artists around the world who've done some pretty remarkable things with that.
Mm-hmm.
We think exposure is very important, so we take them to museums, we try to use the cultural resources in the city as possible. We have partnerships with a couple of the museums, and they basically let our kids come in there and draw whenever we want.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Can I be in your class? Oh, that is a wonderful opportunity.
Well, since you're 18, yes. I think
since I'm 18.
Right, it's threshold.
Hold on one second. I believe we have a call on the line.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to join.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say this sounds so amazing. I want to be a student too. I think we're going to push all the kids out.
You know, the program, you know, to be perfectly, you know, just look at it from the large perspective. The program, there's no reason adults can't be, we can't have a program like this for adults. Absolutely not.
Wow.
You know, it's really, I mean, hey, you know, it's about finding your vision and building. And so, absolutely, it's possible. But
okay.
I would need more resources, because right now, you know, oops, I'm teaching all the classes. I'm teaching quite a few of the classes right now by myself, and we have this illustration teacher, but and plus I do a full-time job on the side, so I can support this. But yes, when we have more resources, I think we'll get more resources by spreading the word, by letting people know that there is this opportunity that can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish you all the best with this. It sounds amazing, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, let's see. What we're going to do is we're going to put a call out for students who have some kind of artistic talent and they have something that they can show. He is, you know, open to look at it and see, and we are putting a call out for teachers, you know, people who will be interested in teaching students art, so that you won't be inundated with all of the teaching aspects and you can go out and create more opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah, the more I know, the more people apply, the better we will be.
Yes, most definitely. And we're also putting a call out for equipment, because an organization like this just can't run, you know, in this manner. It needs the help of the whole entire community, and that's not just the community in which you have the organization, and that's the community at large. So if people want to donate, you know, things to help this program move forward and make this an even larger vision, please, by all means, give him your support any way you can. He's given you the manner in which you can contact him, and I'll put it on my website as well. So, I mean, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, because I know you have your class going on, to join us and talk about your program.
Yeah, believe it or not, all this while I've been sort of trying to teach, but I think now my kids are really late, that I'm coming back. Thank you so much, Aurelia, for having me, and it's a privilege to be on your show and to get an opportunity to get the word out about our school.
That's right. And also, you invited us to your launch party, so don't be surprised if you don't see some people hanging around.
Oh, we'd love to. We'd love to have everyone join us. It's on September 23rd. October 23rd. It's a Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks from now, from 5 to 8 p.m. It's going to be at the Art Connects Gallery, which is in Soho.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on 491 Broadway, 5th floor. Come there. There'll be wine, some light fare, and two of the students' parents are jazz musicians, and they're going to perform.
Okay.
Jazz duet.
Great. I'm going to put all this information on my website as well. I want to thank you again, and you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Aurelia.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.